I'm Patrick Schoens. Today I'm the guest in Dylan's podcast. I'm from Flanders, more precisely from the Pajottenland. I'm married and I have two adult daughters and three grandchildren, Ella, Lucy and Brick. Since a few years, I'm retired as an official of an international organization. And before I was working as a bank manager in Belgium. And since I'm retired, I started writing books, more precisely thrillers. And today, I'm the latest guest on Portugal's The Simple Life podcast with Dylan. And I will talk to Dylan. And I will explain him why I love Portugal, and more precisely, why I lost my heart to the Silver Coast. And I have to precise that the Silver Coast today has been my favorite writer's retreat, where I can find the time and the inspiration to write my books.
Welcome to The Simple Life. I'm Dylan, and I'm host of Portugal The Simple Life podcast. An insider's perspective into Portugal. Portugal has been my happy home for the last 15 years. So for those of you who want to know more about Portugal, are interested in moving to Portugal or investing in Portugal, look no further. This is the podcast for you, and tune in every week as I speak to interesting people about what makes Portugal so special, so unique, so truly wonderful. For those of you listening, head over to our YouTube channel to watch some of these episodes. And now, please enjoy this week's conversation. Welcome back, or welcome to another edition of Portugal, The Simple Life, another episode of Portugal, The Simple Life, and a special edition of My Home in Portugal. I'm really delighted to be joined here by Patrick Schoens. Patrick, good morning or good afternoon, boa tarde. Thank you for being on the podcast. How are you?
Fine. Boa tarde, Dylan. I'm fine. The weather is rainy and gray here in Belgium, but so I'm missing a little bit the good vibes from Portugal.
Yes, I don't want to make you depressed or anything, so we won't talk about what the weather is like today here on the Silver Coast. But we were talking before the interview started about how the sunshine makes a huge difference for our state of our mood, our state of being, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Patrick, we are neighbors, actually. We live, your property that you bought here in Portugal is in the same village that I live. So maybe one day we can share a coffee at the local cafe at Umelru or at Castiço.
Yeah, fine.
Would be nice. But maybe you can start off telling us a little bit about you.
Well, Dylan, I'm from Flanders. I'm 64. I don't know if you are a fan of the Beatles.
The Beers?
The Beatles.
Oh, the Beatles. The
pop
yes,
group,
of course.
The Beatles. I don't know if you are a fan, but if you are a fan, you probably remember their song, When I'm 64.
Yes.
And if you remember the lyrics of the song, I have to guarantee you today that my wife, my two adult daughters, and my three grandchildren, they still need me, but they still feed me too. But the Beatles, they were renting a cottage on the Isle of Wight, but we are coming to the Silver Coast, which is much better. So to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm 64. So 2 years ago, I decided to retire on the 1st of January 2022. And all my career, I was spending as a bank manager in one of the most important banks in Belgium. And then later on, I worked 28 years as a financial expert for three different international organizations in Brussels.
Okay.
Hobby-wise, it's a blank sheet. I have to admit today that all the time that I was working, that I was a little bit too much workaholic.
A workaholic.
My family and my work was my hobby.
It sounds about right. That's okay. That's okay. Now you have time to have other hobbies.
Yeah, I've thought about this now.
Yes. So let's
No,
start off talking about you in Portugal. How did that all begin for you? How did you first discover this place?
well, working in an international organization where you have a melting pot of 27 different nationalities out of Europe, of course, I had some Portuguese colleagues there. And I must say today that all the Portuguese that I met during my long career of 28 years, they all became friends. And you know that in such an environment where you have such a melting pot of different cultures and different nationalities, clichés are never far away. And you know probably all those clichés that the southern people from Europe
Yes.
say about the people from the north and what the people from the north say from the south. But I have to say that the Portuguese colleagues that I met during my career, they never did correspond to those clichés. Those people were always very friendly and they were hardworking. That's the only thing I can say. It can only be positive. And I can only confirm now, after knowing now Portugal better during 7 years already, I can only confirm that it's also the case for the rest of the country. That's how I started to get
To know
Portugal
more.
better known.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk a little bit about people because I think probably, Portugal, when you think about Portugal, everybody will have some idea about the wine, the weather, the beaches, the food. But for me, probably the best advertisement for Portugal is its people. And they are wonderfully friendly. Like you mentioned, they are not lazy. They are hardworking. I have to, as you know, we have the office here in the Silver Coast. I have to tell some of my colleagues, hey, it's time to go home. It's late. And they will sit happily and work and as long as they need to get the job done. I mean, with your from your perspective, Patrick, what do you why do you think they are so friendly, welcoming, unique in this way? What's your take?
I don't really know, but I think it's a lifestyle in Portugal. It's a huge difference stepping into a shop here in Belgium, ready to buy something and to make the same exercise in Portugal. In Portugal, there's always a smile behind. And it's true, it's coming from their heart. You go once or twice to the same restaurant, the third time you go, you are like family almost, and that you don't have in Belgium, for example. It's a completely different way of life.
Interesting. So that was your first sort of your first time that you heard more about Portugal was through people that you worked with. Take us back to your first visits and how that started and what your experience was there.
Well, curiously, I never put 1 foot on in Portugal before 2017. I crossed Europe in the four corners of Europe on missions for work and so on, but never went on a mission to Portugal. We never spent our holidays in Portugal before. We always spent our holidays in Spain and on a Greek island, sunny beaches. And we always used to go to a hotel. And in 2016, my eldest daughter proposed to rent a house near to Alicante in Spain. And my wife was a little bit skeptic because she was still working at that time too. And she said, "Oh, renting a house and I will have to cook and things like that." And finally, curiously, that holiday, together with our two daughters, together with my son-in-law at that moment, it turned out to be our best holiday ever. It was so good that after we were close to the end of our holidays, we started to look around in the neighborhood to see the houses that they were building and to discover the property market in Spain. And we saw the prices there, we saw the quality. And coincidentally, a few weeks later, after we were back home, I got an email from Immoportugal saying, okay, in November we have open days. I have to admit that I knew already IMO Portugal from before because I was especially attracted by their architectural style of building. That style of houses did attract me, and I had often a look to their projects. Never having in mind to buy a house in Portugal, but eventually to apply the same style here in a house in Belgium. And I said to my wife, after our experience in Spain, let's have a look in those open days in the branch in Antwerp of yes. IMO Portugal. Let's combine it with a shopping trip. So I could convince my wife to go with me to the open days. And then there was a lady of IMO Portugal explaining us a lot of projects by showing plans and by showing pictures and so on. So I was a little bit reluctant, saying, okay, well, what do we expect? I will never buy a house just based on a plan in a country where I've never been before. And then surprisingly, the lady answered me, she said, well, Patrick, I refuse you to sell a house to you if you don't come to Portugal and have a look yourself.
Yes.
And that created already an environment of trust for us, saying, okay, this is not just simply a pushy property agent who wants to sell a house. No, they want to do it in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, when I first moved to Portugal, a lot of family and friends, they said to me, why Portugal? Why Portugal? Because it's almost this forgotten corner of Europe. And all I used to say to people is come and visit and you'll see. Yeah. And within 2 or 3 days, they would turn and go, okay, I understand. Yeah. Like, I get it.
I had the same feeling because 2 months after the open days, we decided, okay, let's have a city trip to Lisbon. And let's combine our city trip with a visit to the Silver Coast.
Okay.
And there we were surprisingly surprised by what we saw. And on top of that, we fixed an appointment with the lady from IMO Portugal. And mm-hmm. she took really the time for us to visit some projects. And it was not simply 1 hour or 2 hours visiting several projects and then it's finished. No, she took 5 hours of our time to show us the projects, but also the hidden gems of the Silver Coast. And I remember that she showed us, she went down the hill, down to Salgado Beach, near to Nazaré. And then we were surprised because we remembered the beach that we were in Alicante a few months before, where during summer, it was an ugly beach to start. Secondly, you could hardly put an extra towel on the beach because it was crowded. And then you arrive to Salgado Beach and you feel like Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah.
Nobody on the beach, mid of January, in t-shirts, and the beach was for you. You were alone.
Yes.
And that experience I took with me also during the years later, whether it be now a beach near to Lourinhã, whether it be near to Peniche, whether it be near to San Martino or Nazaré, you get everywhere at the Silver Coast the same feeling.
Yeah.
And that was what I liked a lot about the Silver Coast and what finally surprised, convinced us to buy, because a few months later, during summer, after our first visit, we decided to rent with the whole family because I wanted my daughters also to have a look to it. We rented a house in Serra da Pescaria. I made a second appointment with IMO Portugal. And then a few weeks later, we decided to buy and to invest in the project in Bairro Senhora da Luz, Óbidos.
Okay. I mean, what were you looking for in terms of a location? You've already mentioned that you like the modern style architecture. So in terms of a property, and how did this place tick those boxes and kind of, give you what you
Well,
were looking for?
after our holidays in Alicante and then later on in Serra da Pescaria, I must say that at that period we were a little bit fed up going on holiday in a hotel. Even if you take the highest rate of hotel, you cannot escape from the fact that you have to fight to have your place next to the swimming pool. You have to queue up at regular times during the day in the restaurants, in amongst crowded people. And whatever the rate of hotel you take, you have always negative surprises. And we were a little bit fed up with that. And then secondly, we said, okay, we will buy the house in Portugal. It's not an investment, keeping in mind that we will look after 5 years, 5 years, what will be the turnover. It's not an investment money-wise. It's an investment for us. We wanted a house for ourselves, where we, when we come, we don't have surprises. We know what we can expect and what we have. And secondly, there was also the aspect of the children. You know, youngsters, how it works in their life. They are young. They want to make a career. They work hard. They have children. They create a family. They want to buy or they build a house. It's a period of your life. I experienced it myself, where you don't have extra financial margin to spend even a number of thousands of euros to spend for summer holidays. We said by ourselves, okay, if we buy the house, we offer also the possibility to our children to have several times per year, whenever they want, to go to Portugal and to have a nice holiday in an environment that they like. And that was also an aspect that convinced us to invest.
In terms of the I mean, let's talk a little bit about the process, because you mentioned how when you went to the open day at the IMO Portugal office, you first were looking at plans and things on paper. You've now gone and seen the location, and we'll talk a little bit about the location in more detail, what's special about this particular place. But just maybe talk us through the process, because now you were looking at a plot of land, nothing is there yet. Maybe take us through your experience of the kind of the process of getting started and how that all was for you and your wife.
Yeah. First, I will tell you an anecdote.
Sure.
When I came the first time to the Silver Coast, and the lady of IMO Portugal spent 5 hours showing us several projects and the hidden gems of the Silver Coast. When we were back home, my wife said to me, "Hey, Patrick, you will see. She will call you every week to see if you made up your mind." You know what? She never called us. She never called us. I had to call her in September to fix a second appointment. So the policy of IMO Portugal, I think, is not quantity, but quality. They only act when you are ready for it. When you say, okay, I'm ready, I'm open to get extra information. And that was a very positive aspect for us. Now, when we were the second time, we had the second visit with Anne-Sophie, and she showed us Bairro Senhora da Luz, and there were already two houses constructed. They were not yet finished, so it was still the windows were not placed yet, so we could have a visit inside, and we could imagine ourselves how our house would look like. Because, okay, we had already the feeling how it was there. And what is important about the project in Bairro Senhora da Luz, we were at that moment in Serra da Pescaria. It's a wonderful place. You are up on a hill. You have a marvelous view on Salgado Beach. You have a marvelous view on Nazaré. But in the morning, you can get there a lot of fog. And that you don't see anything about during hours. And so the person of IMO Portugal said to us, well, When you leave Serra da Pescaria, look to the temperature in your car. And when you arrive in Bairro Senhora da Luz, you will see in your car what is the temperature there. And you will see that there will be several degrees difference. And it was true.
Yeah,
we had the sun in Bairro Senhora da Luz, and we had the fog in Serra da Pescaria. So for us, the advantage of Bairro Senhora da Luz is the ideal situation. It's peaceful, it's calm, the locals are very friendly, and we are somewhere in the middle between a cultural center, which is Óbidos Castle, which is really a few minutes away. And you're not far from Caldas da Rainha, where you have just a few minutes away, you have a lot of choice in supermarkets and things like that. So for us, it was ideal. And moreover, you had the beaches close by. And for us, when we see the sea, it's already holiday. So it was perfect.
Yeah, and we have, it's one of the gems that you haven't mentioned yet. You have Foz do Aurelio nearby,
yeah,
with the Óbidos Lagoon. It's still today one of the most beautiful beaches that I've seen.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. When you arrive the first time and you see it, you say, it's not possible. This is exceptional.
Looking for a home in Portugal? This Break in Portugal, the Simple Life podcast, is brought to you by Dylan and his team of certified realtors at Portugal Realty. Portugal Realty offers the exclusive Simple Life Home Buyer Program. Visit PortugalRealty.com today and book your free call to find out more. Welcome to the Simple Life.
Yes, yes, yes. Patrick, you've gone from first seeing things on 3D images and plans. You've now built and got a feeling for a location. How the process works for people listening is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you bought the plot, you signed a contract with the builder from PressProp, who's also part of the group, and you started building. You then had to wait for the house to get built, but along the way you dealt with professionals and project managers who assisted you. Just take us through that experience for you and how important that was in the process.
Well, first of all, when you are a foreigner and you want to buy or to build a house, it's a big question mark. It's a big question mark on the legal basis. It's a big question mark on the administrative basis. And there, Imo Portugal guided us to a solicitor in Caldas da Rainha, who smoothly arranged everything for us. We had no worries. And on top of that, there was an extra guarantee, because you mentioned it yourself. We bought immediately the land. We were immediately the owner of the land. And that's a big difference with other builders in Portugal, where you become only the owner when the construction is finished.
Yeah.
Meaning that when your builder goes bankrupt in the middle of the process, you have nothing, although that you invested already money. That was not the case with Imo Portugal. We were immediately the owner of the land, so we had that guarantee, and that's a tremendous advantage, I think. Then during the process of building, I've only one word to describe it. It was fantastic. I will mention their names because they merit it. We had a very good contact with Luis Cardoso and Denise Vieira.
Mm-hmm.
From a company from your group, the Leisure Group.
Leisure Launch,
Leisure Launch Group. I have to say that they always had a listening ear to our wishes, to our plans, to our problems, because, okay, in every construction, you have sometimes a small problem that needs to be solved. Well, they were always there. And sometimes I spoke with my wife, I said, oh, they are coping with this. Oh, they are dealing with this. Because we never had the feeling that we were client number 172. No, there was always a direct contact with them. We got always the right solution in time. And you had that comfortable situation that you were talking to somebody who was taking care of your business 2,000 kilometers further. That's a huge advantage. Moreover, they sent us on regular basis the pictures how the construction continued, and so we always had the guarantee that what we were paying for it was the work was done, and that's an enormous advantage. And to give you some idea, Luis and Denise were always there, not only during the building process, but they were also there in the 5 years following the end of the building. And that's also very positive. Even more, I would say, we are now almost 7 years after we first met Luis, for example. And recently I was in Portugal and we were in a restaurant. And who was sitting there at the table? Luis Cardoso and a company. And Luis he came to our table and said, "Hey, Patrick, hey, Vivian, how are you? Can you imagine a manager after 7 years having hundreds of clients who still knows you after 7 years and who still takes the effort to come and say hello?" I don't know many, but that is Luis. And that is Denise also, because they are always as friendly as possible and they always try to help you further.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only one reaction that I can have. That is fantastic. You have a fantastic team there.
They're wonderful people. And it's like you mentioned, you had that experience of starting to work with Portuguese people in your company. But then once you came to Portugal, you realized that that's how Portuguese people are.
Yeah.
It always reminds me of the series Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name. And it's a wonderful feeling to be in a place like that.
Yeah. There's one thing extra is that they have a way of working with their clients in a client-oriented way and with respect to their clients. But if I have to pass one message today here for the people who will listen to our podcast, is the fact that you get only the respect in the way that you show yourself respect. And that sometimes we foreigners, we forget this. Mm. Respect should come from both sides.
Agreed.
And with Luis and Denise, they show respect, but you should show also respect and you should put yourself in their place, knowing the stress that they have to satisfy all those clients, those hundreds of clients. And that's what we say in Brussels, chapeau.
Tip of that, yeah. Patrick, I mean, you explained how you and your family were tired of staying in hotels. You've gone from a trip to Spain, then never being to Portugal, coming to Portugal, and not long after buying a plot of land with a house that wasn't yet built. How was the feeling? Can you tell us about how it was the first time you walked into the house and started to use it, and after imagining what it would be like to have this house and use this house, how was that feeling for you the first time that you and your family started using the property?
Well, we came by surprise, and Luis and Denise did not know that we would come. But when we arrived with the car in front of the house was already completely finished, and they were all cleaning up the end cleaning before handing the house over to the owners. And we were happily surprised because it was more than we expected. But I have to say, we made really a good choice. It's not a big house. It's a small garden, but we say by ourselves, small is beautiful. We are used to have a bigger house here in Belgium, a big garden. We did not want a house with a big garden in Portugal where we would arrive and then from the first day up to the last day having to work in a garden to clean everything up. Because to tell you something, we are a little bit maniacal. On that side, cleaning and gardening should be all right. But in Portugal, we have that advantage. Okay, we work when we like to work. And if we don't like to work, we do nothing. That's as simple as that. And we don't have that huge workload every time that waits for us when we arrive. And that's a big advantage. That gives us the advantage also to take profit of our stay in Portugal. That's the way of de-stressing also for us.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Denise, who worked with you through this entire process, she warned me when I told her that we were doing this this interview. She warned me. She said, "Do not forget. You have to ask Patrick about his books." So, tell us a little bit about your books. I'm excited to know more.
Well, I retired 1st of January 2022, and it was in the middle of winter. It was also the middle of the COVID period. People at work say always, and that's perhaps a lesson for you also, when you retire, you should always retire in spring or in summer, and then immediately go on holiday, and then you don't have that feeling. I did not listen, and I did do it in the middle of the winter. So okay. I was coming from a situation where I was working 120-130% per day, up to a situation where there was nothing anymore. My days were empty. My agenda was empty. In the beginning, we could not even travel because of COVID. So I was completely lost, Dylan, completely lost. So what started one day as a joke at work, and you know how it works with colleagues, and you're laughing and kidding. And we said often, one day when we retire, we will write our memoirs. We will write a book. So one day I said, it was in March 22, when we could again travel, we escaped to Portugal to our house. And there I started writing my first book, which is Wraakzomer. It's written in Dutch. It's a story. It's a thriller with some murdering.
Okay.
I finished it in January 23. I finished it and I sent it to a few publishers to see what will be their reaction. Curious to know what they think about it. And surprisingly, I found two publishers who want to publish the book. So my book was published in summer 23. But I got already before so many positive reactions about it that during my month stay in June in 23, I started to write already in Portugal, in Óbidos, the second book. And the second book, the title will not surprise you probably, because I like Portugal a lot. The title is The Portuguese Connection.
Okay.
The Portuguese Connection. In fact, it's also a thriller. It's a story that starts in Flanders, but it reaches its climax on the Silver Coast.
Okay.
So what I always try in my books is to put some beside the murdering and the killing and the suspense and the story, I try on the sideline, I put some information so that when the reader reads my book at the end, that he or she can say, that's something that I did not know. I learned here something. And that will be probably also the case with my second book. Because, as I said, the climax of this story ends on the Silver Coast. I describe also a little bit Portugal, the simple life in my second book. What are the hidden gems that they can find on the Silver Coast? What cultural things you can see? Even some good addresses of restaurants in the neighborhood you can find in my book when you read my book. So I will bring my reader who is in the Netherlands or in Flanders and who is in the situation that I was myself in 2016, not having a clue what is the Silver Coast or what can you find in the Silver Coast. When they read my book, they will know much more than I knew when I came for the first time to Portugal.
It's a good place to start. So I will. What we'll do as well, Patrick, is because it's only in Flemish, correct? The book.
Yeah.
So we will because we have lots of Dutch and Belgian listeners. I will put a link in the show notes so people can know go buy Patrick's book and find out more about the Silver Coast. And we're not going to give away what happens and how it happens. So find out how it ends in the Silver Coast. I'm
it's
curious
to know.
I might have to. I'll. My Dutch is a bit rusty, but I think I'm curious to know how it ends. So I will read it for sure.
Normally, I would have been able to show you the book today. It should have arrived already today, the first one printed. But the post services in Belgium are not anymore what they used to be. So it will probably arrive next week. But from the 19th of April, you can buy it in any bookshop in Flanders or in the Netherlands, and you can buy it also via my blog. I will leave you the address of my blog.
Yes.
So when you click on my blog, you can also click the button to buy the book.
And save me a copy, please. If you have some space in your luggage when you come to Portugal, I would like
a signed
copy,
coming.
And I will meet you and get the book from you for sure.
I'm coming on the 9th of June for about 1 month to Óbidos, Pairo Senhora da Luz, and you're welcome to have a coffee, and I bring
Sounds
you
good.
One for you.
Sounds good. Well, one more question a few more questions, but one more about just you and your situation with your family. You mentioned how in the book you've got tips on restaurants and things like that. We know, and it's been spoken about so much on the podcast, how wonderful the food is in Portugal. You also mentioned previously how your wife, when you thought about this idea of having a holiday home, that she thought, I'm going to need to cook. It hasn't maybe been the case. There's so many good places to go out and eat, even in our little village.
Yeah.
How has your experience been of the food?
Fantastic. We have four or five restaurants that we visit every time in different ranges of prices. But it is like I said before, every time you go, it's like meeting family almost. Even if it's because we go four or five times per year to Portugal. So sometimes there's two months or 3 months in between that they don't see us. But every time you come, and it's like yesterday that you arrive, and you are always well served and with a smile. And that's a difference here with what we have in Belgium.
Yeah. What, have you got any favorite Portuguese dishes?
Well, I have to say, I will not make too much publicity for restaurants, but there's one specific restaurant that we met on the first time that we went, this restaurant Pangea in Nazaré. The fish soup is just delicious.
Yeah, my wife and I, we also like that. We like the polvo, the squid. It's also really good.
Yeah.
Patrick, what's one thing that you would like people to remember and to take away from our conversation? Just one thing.
Well, you're always saying, okay, Portugal, the simple life. It's your slogan of your podcast. It's your slogan of your magazine. It's the slogan that unites your different companies in the group. But it's not for us, it's not just a slogan. It's also a way of living. And the only thing that I want to tell to the people who listen or who look to the podcast is that Portugal is the ideal place to de-stress. And what I like especially to Portugal is, you know, we have a saying in Belgium about politicians.
Okay.
And in my life, in my 28 years career, I met a lot of politicians from different countries. So what we say, if you take politicians, you take a bag and you put from each political party one in the bag and then you shake it. And when you open the bag and you open it, they are all the same. I can use the same image. If you take a bag, you put the sunshine, you put the nice beaches, the wild ocean, the stressless way of life, the culinary delights that you find, the friendly people. You close the bag, you shake it, And when you open it, the Silver Coast will emerge.
I like that. I like that. Well, I mean, this might, you might have answered this question already, Patrick, but why does Portugal feel like home?
Because you have all those advantages. People are friendly. You have no stress. And it starts already when you take the car from Lisbon Airport to the Silver Coast. Once you are passing Lourdes, the stress is gone. You have no stress, not on the road, not in the traffic. In the shops, it's the same thing. People are friendly everywhere. Where you live in Bairro Senhora da Luz, it's calm, it's peaceful. You're close to everything. You want culture, it's just a few minutes away. You want to go to shops, it's just a few minutes ago. You want to go to the beach, it's not far away. And you have plenty of choice of beaches and nice beaches, like you say, like Foz de Areio, San Martino. You know, when I come by plane already from Brussels to Lisbon, I always try to take a seat at the right side of the plane. Yeah. Because every time I see the special form of the beach in San Martino, the shell,
you see
it from the plane.
Wonderful, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm delighted that this has been a wonderful journey for you. I'm also very happy that we're neighbors. So, Patrick, thank you for being on the podcast.
It's my pleasure. It's a wrap.
So thank you once again to our guest, and thank you to all of you for listening. Please subscribe, share with your friends, give us a thumbs up, and please leave a comment or a review. We always love to hear from you. Don't forget, Portugal The Simple Life also has a magazine, so download it. It's for free. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And as we say in Portugal, Sejas bem-vindo. Welcome to The Simple Life.